I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, and we endeavor to always bring you fact, not fake, principle, not political agenda. We do the research so that you can have the news the way it is supposed to be delivered, not with the dictated narrative and agenda that we see all too often in today's daily, quote unquote, we'll use that term, so-called journalists. That's probably going to get me in trouble, don't you think? So-called journalists.
Maybe.
Well, today
that's what they say about everybody else, right?
Right, right. Well, that's what they say about me because I don't have bona fide credentials, right? So I didn't go to journalism school. I didn't go to Harvard journalism school. So therefore, I am not qualified to have a radio program. Not only that, Dianne Feinstein said before the House of Representatives that without these bona fide credentials...
Is that how she says it?
Yes.
Bona fide?
She says bona fide. That's what she calls them. Bona fide credentials. I don't even qualify for freedom of press protections because I'm not a member of the White House press corps. That's what she said. And Dick Durbin agreed with her, actually. So there you have it. Dianne Feinstein and Dick Durbin do not like the Chris Ann Hall Show. I think that's probably a badge of honor.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we should put that up on the upper shelf just right next to our trophy from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, that should be part of your advertisement or something.
Right?
Your commercial.
You know, I think...
The show that Feinstein doesn't like.
The show that the Southern Poverty Law Center calls an anti-government extremist hate show.
Yeah.
We should find one of those guys that does those little bumper things to make us one like that.
Right.
That's what we need to find. Okay, so on today's show, we are going to talk about, believe it or not, freedom of press and freedom of speech, and I am going to give some primary election advice. Primary elections are probably the most important elections that you have because you actually have a choice. Quite ironically, the primary elections are where you have, by right, no choice, right? And that would sound funny to some people, I think. This is where you have the most choice, but by right, you have no choice. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about de Blasio and Fox News. Dear, did you see that article about what de Blasio said about Fox News?
I did not.
Ah, so that's going to be a good one. And yes, we are going to talk about Alex Jones. I don't know if we'll make friends and influence people, but we will talk about Alex Jones today. But you know what I want to do? I want to start off today's show with some feel-good liberty victory news.
Okay.
And it happens in all place in Illinois. Okay? Let me show you where. It happens in Urbana, Illinois, which is just outside of Champaign, Illinois. south of our listeners in our Chicago district, where we have a radio station who carries us in the western suburbs of Chicago, and so just south of them, on right where 57 and 74 intersect. This was on the Urbana Police Department Facebook page 3 days ago. And I want to share it with you because I thought it was really, really awesome. As a matter of fact, I thought it was so awesome, I left a comment on their Facebook post. And you see a picture of the police officer standing next to a young man. Looks like he's probably about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And the police department reports on their Facebook page, "Today, we received a complaint of a, quote, non-permitted vendor," end quote.
Non-permitted vendor.
We received a what? Complaint.
Right.
Of a non-permitted vendor. "We found young Jay selling lemonade. He said he was saving up for a tent to go camping. As time allowed, the entire shift enjoyed his delicious and, quote, illegal lemonade. Thanks, Jay. And have fun camping."
Yeah, what the only problem I have with that article is that the complainant is not named.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's what I thought too. Who in the world complains about an 8-year-old selling lemonade?
Yeah, and they need to be shamed. I mean, they need to be.
Yes, they do.
Made public.
I am. But see, this to me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm so touched by this from a liberty perspective.
Can we do a Freedom of Information Act?
Oh, we could, actually, I think it's public record. We could contact the police department because I'm sure they called in on a recorded line.
Yeah.
And request the name of the complainant who complained of a, quote, non-permitted vendor. I want to say thank you to the Urbana Police Department. I want to give a serious liberty shout out to Sylvia Morgan, who is the police chief in Urbana, Illinois. Bryant Serafin, the deputy chief there in Urbana, Illinois. They're obviously doing something right.
Yeah, good job, guys.
Good job with your training. And if you want to leave a comment on their Facebook page, they're simply listed on Facebook as Urbana Police Department. And I'm just got goosebumps. I'm so tickled by this, to see them. I actually posted on Facebook. I said, "Thank you for your support of nullification."
That's funny.
So I think this is something we need to take time to recognize. I mean, so many people jump on the bandwagon to criticize officers today, and I will say, when we don't criticize officers that are doing wrong, we're doing wrong with them. But we need to take the time to say good job and encourage good things when they happen, because you know as well as I do, there are way too many people out there who simply do not understand that our police officers and our sheriffs and deputies have an obligation to not enforce these kinds of ridiculous pieces of legislation. And so thank you, Urbana Police Department. That being said, it's time to get back into the critical view of what's going on with our politicians. De Blasio slams Fox News, and I think what he says is correct, but probably not for the reasons that de Blasio would say, right? So de Blasio says, "We would be a more unified country without Fox News," according to The Hill. And I agree with de Blasio. I absolutely agree that America would be a more unified country without Fox News. Why? Because we would have a dictated narrative from one part of a story.
Yeah, so you'd be unified in ignorance.
Unified in ignorance, unified in a lie. You'd be unified, But you would, what does that get America? That is contrary to the principles of who we are. We are a principled country based on the freedom of expression, the open marketplace of ideas. And the fact that de Blasio says that we would be a more unified country if we didn't have Fox.
Listen, given the fact that Fox is located, is headquartered in New York City,
mm-hmm.
de Blasio is the mayor of New York City.
Right.
How close does this come to a First Amendment violation?
Well, absolutely, it comes very, very close. As a matter of fact, I would say that it would be actually a statement by a politician in power to create a chilling effect.
Right.
And I think that that statement alone would warrant Fox News bringing a legal suit against him. But I want us to...
Well, because a First Amendment violation, mm-hmm. right, has to have a government actor.
A government
actor.
And
he is a government actor.
And he is a government actor. And the New York Constitution, as far as freedom of press is concerned, mirrors the U.S. Bill of Rights. But even so, let's take, outside of the legal realm, let's take de Blasio's statement and allow him to classify himself. I want to read to you a portion of the Silence Do Good letter number 8, written by, as most of you know, Benjamin Franklin, and you may or may not know, but it was published July 9th, 1722, in the New England Courant. He says, quote, "Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far by it as he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer, and the only bounds it ought to know. The sacred privilege is so essential to free governments that the security of property and freedom of speech always go together. And here's the key. And in those wretched countries where a man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything his own. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech, a terrible thing to public traitors." Given de Blasio's comment, would that not be de Blasio classifying himself as a public traitor? Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here. Remember, find your First Amendment training, your Constitution training, your liberty, your rights, your freedoms training at libertyfirstuniversity.com. And I'd like everybody here right now to go to libertyfirstuniversity.com. Just check it out. Everybody, there is something there for everyone. libertyfirstuniversity.com. What we need to defeat the de Blasios. And in this letter, in this article that, or letter to the editor that Silence Do Good writes to the New England Courant in 1722, he goes on to repeat a history that we teach.
Did you say that was Benjamin Franklin?
Yes. Benjamin Franklin writing as Silence Do Good.
Gotcha.
In 1722. So those people who believe that we just started objecting to Great Britain in 1776,
right.
You know, and I think that's sometimes a discouraging thing for people when we teach history in its most rosy-glassed kind of way, that somehow in 1776 we started to push back and we got our independence in 2 years, right? Reality is, the colonists obviously were not happy with Great Britain all the way back in 1722. So when it came around for the government, the British government, to start imposing their mandated purchases and unlawful taxation later in 1760, we now know that there were people objecting for 40 years.
Yeah.
But notice that it was an anonymous objection, mm-hmm. right? Because this letter would be viewed as treason to the British government. So that's why Benjamin Franklin writes As Silence Do Good, because he wants to have freedom of speech, but he's recognizing in this day, in 1722, which, by the way, was under the rule of George II, which is George III's grandfather, that they were not having this freedom of speech. Why? Because they had a government actor, the king and parliament, going against them. And he talks about the history that we teach at Liberty First University, the history of the Constitution, where he talks about the court of Charles I and his wicked ministry procured a proclamation to forbid the people to talk of parliament, which those traitors had laid aside, right? So you have Charles I. Remember, he set aside parliament because parliament would not pay him, would not collect the taxes that he wanted to have, so he could go romp around Europe and spend money like a playboy. And then he got his own ministry to create a proclamation to outlaw the outrage of the people for Charles I's actual movement against their right to legislation through representation.
Man, it's crazy how it blows me away how smart these dudes were when they were so young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ben Franklin was practically a teenager writing this.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get to, the convention and the Declaration of Independence, he's the old man.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, most of the founders were pretty young guys.
Yeah,
and Franklin is the elder statesman.
Well, Noah Webster. Noah Webster was barely 16 when he joined the battle.
If I'm doing my math right, Benjamin Franklin is 16 when he's writing this.
Yeah. Well, that's the power of homeschool.
Yeah, but they had the mind. I mean, at 16, they had the mental acumen of, say a 30-something, 40-year-old.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he's expounding the principles of natural law and free speech as a 16-year-old.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
Not only that, he had a command of language and history.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible. I mean, could you imagine a 16-year-old writing that?
Not today.
That's unreal, really. Yeah. I mean, when you think about, I don't think people really grasp. So when we read the writings, like the Federalist Papers and the writings of the founders, that these were young guys.
Yes.
I mean, they were 20-something.
20s and early 30s, absolutely. Yeah,
like
I said,
we're doing something wrong in our education today.
No,
I'm telling you,
we are deliberately dumbing down our young people so they cannot speak like this.
Way down.
This is what happens when education is real.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Please share this podcast. If we need to keep this truth going, and the only way we can keep this truth going is if you keep it going for us. JC and I, we sit in a hotel room. We sit in a studio that we made in our house. Right now, we're sitting in a...
At Camp Constitution.
At Camp Constitution in our dorm room doing this radio show. And we are two, just two, but with you. We are millions, and we can be more. We need your support. Share this show. Go to thechrisannhall.com. Share the show there. You can listen on iTunes, Google Music Play, TuneIn.com. And yes, we are still on Spotify, and you can share us there. So here's another thing you can really do for us, and this is a favor that I asked not too long ago. I probably should ask every show. Go to chrisannhall.com and sign up for our emails so that the Daily Journal comes to you. Are you sick of the censorship that comes through Facebook and Twitter and all these places? Well, you can undo that censorship by getting the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal to your email box every single day. We will send it to you, and that way it makes it easier for you to share. We are talking about freedom of speech and freedom of press.
I'm still blown away, man. If I'm looking at this right, mm-hmm. Franklin spent 2 years in formal education when he was 8 and 9 years old at the Boston Latin School. And by the time he's 16, he's thinking and writing like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. But
because the majority of their education did not come from formal education.
Self-taught.
They were homeschooled not by a dictated curriculum. They were schooled, self-educated, because they read the classics themselves. They read the writings themselves. That's why we do that with Colton. You need to be self-motivated. You need to be self-educated. We are here to guide your education, but you have to learn on your own.
We are so much dumber than I thought we were 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago.
This is unbelievable.
Yo, America got dumber in 10 minutes.
Oh, America turned into absolute imbeciles. We are absolute imbeciles. You talk about lost potential.
Right.
Unrealized potential.
Right.
People don't even believe today that this is even possible.
Yeah, well, that's
what this was our history. This is our American history. Almost all of these founders walking around at that time were like this.
Well, that's why people...
Look how stupid we are today.
Well, that's why people think they were genius.
It was common. They weren't genius. They were normal for their time.
But I know.
Just the fact that you can achieve this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could achieve this. By the time this guy's 16 years old with 2 years of formal education, that's just
Noah
crazy.
Webster was a grammarian, as an expert grammarian by the time he was in his 20s. He wrote the dictionary by the time he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Can you imagine writing a dictionary at 30 years old? That's a millennial, by the way. Can you imagine a millennial writing a dictionary today?
So I am totally done with these conversations, entertaining, throwing all this money at Department of Education and cheering on public school.
Because we got
farce.
Dumb in 10
that
minutes.
That is a disgrace.
Yeah, absolutely. Our school boards are a disgrace. The whole system
the
is
whole
a disgrace.
The whole system is a disgrace.
I want to read to you something else that Benjamin Franklin says here in 1722 at the age of
16.
He says, quote, that men ought to speak well of their governors. It is true. While their governors deserve to be well spoken of. But to do public mischief without hearing of it is only the prerogative and felicity of tyranny. A free people will be showing that they are so by their freedom of speech. You just go, bam! It's like a mic drop moment, isn't it? Seriously, because that's what's wrong with America today and our politics. You can't criticize a Republican if you are a Republican, right?
Right.
You can't criticize them. You can't correct them if you are a Republican, because we no longer have a mentality of freedom of speech in America. No. That's how de Blasio can get away as the governor of New York to say things like that. That's how we can get away with that, because we do not have a mentality of freedom of speech anymore in America.
No, it's tribalism and it's you hurt my feelings, snowflakeism, and you know, it's just, it's nuts.
It's absolutely, absolutely crazy.
And then you have, so now you have the combination of what we see with Alex Jones.
Right.
These huge mega corporation technology companies that have pretty much swooped up and monopolized
right.
the avenues of free speech. Now,
right.
I'm not defending, you know, any of those places where Alex Jones says, you know, whatever they're accusing him of, what have you. I don't even know all the details, but
but
that's all beside
yeah,
the point.
Yeah, that's
not even the issue. But and it's not. Now, we understand what you said earlier, that I was clarifying with you, that you have to have a government actor for a First Amendment violation. So it's not necessarily a First Amendment violation against Alex Jones.
No, let's be clear for just one second.
Targeting,
yeah,
right. But then you got to talk about how the government uses these technology companies. I think it's a mess.
YouTube and Spotify are not government agents.
Right.
So if here's the thing, if you're in favor of cake bakers refusing to bake cakes,
yeah.
If you support NFL corporations requiring their players to stand during the national anthem, then you must agree that YouTube and Spotify
can have standards, guidelines.
And guidelines, and they can dismiss people based on those standards and guidelines.
Yeah, so that's not the issue.
That is not the issue.
The issue is, in my mind, you have these huge technology corporations that have really seized, I mean, all communication has been funneled into their platform. I mean, that's become practically the way,
you know,
and they've built, and I think they, the way that they've operated, and I will say this, the way they've been favored and supported by government, that they have dominated the marketplace, and they have made almost, it's almost, what do you call that, anti-competition, monopolistic, mm-hmm. I mean, they've mm-hmm. really sort of forced competition out. You have these little players continually. I've watched this for the last 6 years. You've had these things, Gabby and different things, trying to get in and make a similar platform. Because obviously the answer would be, okay, you don't like it, you make another product, you know, you have your own platform. But there are other issues here where that they seem to have, I think, co-opted the strength of government in some places. We talked about these things before with Facebook and other platforms. And they have pushed out. And now they're protected by government entities and favored by government entities. And so I think number one, it's targeting, because it's hypocritical, because there are people on there with leftist views, with YouTube, saying things and doing things that have the similar consequences that they accuse Alex Jones' speech of having, and they don't shut them down. So it's targeting, it's hypocritical. Yes, it's their guidelines, but they don't enforce them on everybody. They target conservative speech, that's clear.
Yeah, but they don't have a requirement to enforce them equally. They're not government.
If it's
government
in their guidelines,
No, they don't.
No, they say in their guidelines, this is what they would do. And how can you go into a business and they say,
okay, but ethically they have a requirement, but legally they do not.
Well,
because number one, we don't.
Don't you contract when you?
Not when you do what you do for free.
No. Listen to me. When you go to that site, you have to click, I agree with your terms of use. You are contracting with them that say that you understand, you agree. And in that, they talk about how they will enforce this.
That's true, but
they don't do
the
that.
Contract is not a true contract, because there is no exchange from you. So they don't have a legal requirement to do anything that they do outside their own interpretation. You can't sue Facebook, because, or Twitter, or YouTube. You can't sue Spotify because
you can.
Yes, but it's not going to go anywhere. They have no obligation to you.
That depends on a jury.
If you get
guys like me, I'm probably going to rule in your favor.
Yeah. Well, because you would be wrong because there's no exchange here. You can't apply the same contract law principles here.
Let me ask you this. So,
if you give me just 1 second, I have to disagree with something that you said. This is not all about government. The fact that we have all of these alternative opportunities is, yes, in part because of the favor that government has shown, but not entirely. You have to acknowledge that Americans are extremely tribalistic and extremely, I don't want to say this in a bad, so it sounds bad, but the truth is lazy. And nobody wants to switch to another platform because, number one, they don't want to go through the transition of learning a new platform. Number two, it's tribalistic. We got to stay with Facebook because that's the popular thing.
Yeah, there's no question about
that. You know, I mean, MySpace used to be big. Then Facebook was the new platform and people moved. But
yeah,
now we have that.
I think that's because Facebook bought MySpace.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, nonetheless, I'm just saying, yes, we have a government collusion here that isn't appropriate. And I will agree, and nobody says this, but the collusion that we have of the government with these entities is not only unconstitutional, it's unlawful. It is violation of freedom of press and speech.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The grant money that went to Facebook for
And that's what I was talking about.
But that doesn't mean...
But let me ask you this question.
That doesn't mean that they're the entire source of the problem. The real problem lies in the fact that people will not leave.
Yeah, no question.
And I want to suggest to you that Alex Jones, having 2.7 million followers on YouTube, he could create a platform and say, come over here with me.
Yeah, yeah, well, he could
I think he
draw
has
others.
The pool to do that.
Yeah, and he could probably draw other
Yes, absolutely.
Other broadcasters.
So I think the solution here, because we're so tribalistic, is to take the Alex Jones tribe, move them somewhere else, and bring with him millions of other people.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Rise and shine. Welcome back to the last segment of our Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Man, I think we could go on for another segment.
So
or
you
two
answered
for this.
My question. So
yeah.
I did answer
your question. Yeah. Okay.
No, I like that. I think, like you said, that's the answer.
Right.
Again, not a government, not a direct government actor, so it's not a straight First Amendment issue. It's a speech issue, but it's not a freedom of speech issue.
Right? Exactly.
And I think, as you said, the solution we move.
Right.
I mean, the people should move. I you know, we're already kind of looking. What are the alternatives?
Right.
Where you go? Because
we've been looking for alternatives to YouTube too. We've seen their censorship.
Yeah, exactly. You've been slapped with that. It was just an article about Crispus Attucks.
A radio show about Crispus Attucks.
And you got this violates our community guidelines, whatever. They never tell you what,
mm-hmm.
right? They couldn't say what it is. And I guess somehow, because you went back at them and then mm-hmm. somehow they released it without explanation.
Yeah, they sent us, I'm sorry, this was an error in our AI program is basically what they said. So it's just crazy. But I do want to bring this back home because it is exactly what Benjamin Franklin here says, that a free people will be showing that they are so by their freedom of speech.
Yeah.
We have voluntarily censored ourselves. And through, once again, I guess maybe this is all tying up, the ignorance of our education, we have for too long allowed the government to play in playgrounds they're not allowed to play in. So once again, and I don't know why does this come up almost every single show. Once again, we have allowed government to deviate from the constitutional standard, and now you have this chaos. You have confusion about what is freedom of speech and what is not, what is corporation and what is not, right? You can't tell the difference. It is very difficult today. You know more about this than I do, but it is very difficult today to tell the difference between government and corporation.
Yeah.
And that ought not be so. Our government's not supposed to be involved in those things. It is very difficult to tell the difference between a government and a non-government actor. I mean, you could say the same thing about the NFL, right? How much public money does the NFL receive? So you could say, well, they're a quasi-government agency. They're violating the freedoms of speech. Well, at this point in time, with these corporations like Facebook and NFL and the NBA and all of these, the NCAA, a nonprofit organization, how much stinking money do they get from the government? At this point in time, you got to say, what corporation is not a government actor? And you have to be able to create a distinction, because eliminating that distinction eliminates the power of the people. Because now you have corporations that you're not electing, right? Who are exerting power using the arm of government. I don't know. It is constitutional chaos. And that's what happens when the deliberate dumbing down of the people takes over. Can I mention to you, dear, I feel guilty.
How's that?
That our son doesn't get the education that he ought to have. By his age, 12, I mean, seriously, I think maybe we need to reassess. I think every parent out there needs to reassess the education that their child is getting. I think, who's the guy that you love the most, the education philosophy that you...
Jaime Escalante.
And what was his philosophy?
Well, it was the idea of the children will meet the goals you set for them.
Right. Rise to the level of expectation.
Yep.
Do we expect too little from our young people
today?
Well,
obviously, as a society.
Yes.
I mean, that was obvious when we look at Franklin and these guys.
This was the norm.
They were nothing. They weren't mutants or something. They weren't genetically, souped up.
And they didn't have access to the information that we have today.
They had access to right information.
Yeah. Well, do you know how hard it would be for Franklin to get books and you can do them in 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. I promise another great show tomorrow. God bless. I was